welcome to... Oh, is that too far away?
No, it's good, man.
Oh, was that good?
Yeah.
Was that a good angle?
You got a good angle on that.
To Bros Knows Best, yeah. A movie review podcast. See, it feels really far away. Isn't that funny that you can have a microphone quite far away and yet it's working?
It can still pick it up.
Isn't that...
Yeah.
Modern technology.
Oh, no, yeah. Oh, that's good.
That's
right
good
there.
Now?
Yeah, that's good right there.
A movie review podcast, and it is, it's quite... It does feel a little far, yet somehow I'm looking at the levels and the levels are good.
Yeah, it's pretty
the
good.
The levels are good.
Hey, look.
Hosted by me, Ben Charlesworth, because, yeah, if see, even if I angle it a little bit more like this,
whoa.
How's that? Is that changing that, the decibel region a little bit more?
Maybe just a
tiny. And my brother, Scott Charlesworth.
Hey, hello.
How are you bloody going, mate?
Oh, mate, I am frothing because we have a very special movie on for today.
Yes, if you're just joining us, I was worried that we're having some technical difficulties there. But no, that's the magic of technology,
that's
I guess.
That's the magic of technology,
We've
yeah.
got SM7Bs, so fuck you
with your
stupid
industry
doubts.
Standard.
We've got the cool podcast mics, your dogs. We've got...
Minus all the other stuff you need, like acoustic treatment and everything.
Like acoustic treatment, like good lighting, like good camera, like good hosts, like good content.
We're ragtagging it, but you know, the big boys told us, if you want to be in a successful podcast, you need some of these boys.
It's true. You need mic like this.
You need some of these.
You need a huge mic like this. That's what you want.
Yep. That's right.
Mate, it's been years since I've seen you.
I don't know, man.
Since we last did an episode.
I don't think I've seen you for weeks.
I know. You look meek.
You look great.
You look damaged.
You actually look great. You got a haircut today, too.
I did. You're looking very fresh. I did get a haircut.
Yeah. But you've been sitting on the lounge, so it's kind of flat at the back at the moment.
Oh, really?
So if you turn your head, you should be embarrassed.
Hang on, let me take my headphones off. We'll do a bit of live one. You got to commentate though, because people also only listen to the podcast.
Okay, so he's taken off his headphones and he's looking to the side. Oh, and he's got a mighty fine fade on the sides there. It's the little curly mullet.
That's bursty.
Wow, it really like fits the angle of your face as well. Like I feel like it's...
I'll be honest, we're both probably going to be pretty tired for this episode. We both went to a concert last night.
Viagra Boys. Yeah. Oh.
And then we both think we got food poisoning from chicken nuggets.
We won't name the establishment because it is a good establishment.
Yes.
The burgers are great there, but we decided...
Let's just say Mary had a little lamb.
We were not satisfied enough with our hunger levels. We were like, we need just a little bit more to get us through the night so we can stay in the mosh pit and actually survive without dropping to the ground in hunger.
Yeah.
So we decided to get some chicken nuggets and they came out as little chicken bits.
Which was wonderful.
It was pretty cool. It's a nice surprise.
I don't know if it was the chicken.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was the burger.
I don't know if it
was the mosh and being dehydrated and constantly pushed and bashed.
Could have been. Yeah. But look, the thing is though, we both ate... That was the only thing that we both ate the same thing of.
And then we both felt sick.
And we both felt sick.
Yeah, I thought I was about to spew ass last night.
Yeah, you were about to shoot some squirters this morning, right?
Dude, I was green as grass.
Yeah,
and not in a fun way.
No.
I was rotten, absolutely rotten. But it's all right. 2 a.m.'s passed. It's now a new day.
It's
the new day.
Back on the horse.
Yeah, we're back on the horse. And we're riding that horse like a motherfucker.
Do you want me to give you the synopsis to this movie? Or, hey,
I don't know, maybe you could tell the people what movie we watched, even though it is in the title, which is why they clicked on this video.
We watched, now, this was a long time coming because the first movie of this was Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And we watched the sequel today. Oh,
yeah, we did watch the sequel.
And Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
This is a long time coming because episode 3.
Yeah.
Was when we first reviewed that movie.
It feels so long ago, man.
Fucking, let's say 70 something.
74?
Probably. It is now episode...
It's 74.
74!
Yeah!
Oh, the big 74.
How do you feel about that?
Fucking crazy. Riveted. No, I do. I feel ecstatic and I feel rejuvenated.
Yeah.
I do. So yeah, give me the synopsis.
Exciting stuff.
So we're doing the sequel.
Yes, we're doing the sequel and very excited to do it.
Yep.
About a year after Kingpin's Collider was destroyed, by our friendly neighborhood spider gang, Miles Morales has continued his journey into living up as the new Spider-Man. But when multiversal problems arise, he becomes the center of what will be his greatest challenge yet. Very vague, but I just wanted to hit it with you that.
I'm going to go straight into it. Straight into it.
Yep.
Do you think that this movie is better than the first one?
No, it's not. It's not better than the first one.
I disagree.
That's great.
Boom.
But I feel like it lives up to the hype of the first one. Now, the reason why I say that is because the first one holds a special place in my heart. It's like, I don't know, the introductory to this kind of animation style to the big screen sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like a mishmash between, you know, different frame rates, different, like a conversion of, like, no, a collision of different animation styles all coming together. And like the first one just feels like this nice, tight little package.
Oh, and they have Post Malone's Sunflower.
Oh, yeah, that's what gets it just an extra half nug higher.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you can probably already tell what the score's going to be by me saying that, but
not really.
I listened back and heard what our scores were in the last one. Oh, I won't say
what
until
was my
the
score?
End.
What was my score?
I won't say until the end.
Oh.
No, that's spoiling it.
What do you mean? It was episode 3.
Yeah.
Can't spoil it. That was 71 episodes ago.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. I think it is better.
You like it better than the first one.
I haven't seen the first one probably since we watched it, but...
No, yeah, true. But, oh man, what a way to do a sequel as well, eh?
I reckon...
Unbelievable.
The reason why I'm going to say this is better...
Yep.
...is I think the first one has all those characters established so well.
Mm-hmm.
So well.
For sure.
And a lot of the time in a sequel, it's sort of like we go bigger and better on, you know, the action and the stakes, you know, and the world building in a way.
Yeah.
But what they don't usually do is go crazy big and beyond on character building.
No.
And they went insane on the character building.
They absolutely
with Gwen,
did,
with Miles and Rio and the dad that I've forgotten his name.
Jeff Morales.
Jeff Hardy.
Wait, hold on. Let me fact check that for you. Hold on.
I know what's played on. By Brian Tyree
it is Jeff.
Henry.
It is Jeff.
Jeff.
It's Jeff Morales.
Well, Jeff is a G.
Jeff is an absolute G. He's actually a J, but he's a G.
Oh, yeah, true. He's not a G-off. He's not a goff.
Just got to let him spread his wings, man.
Shout out Jeff McNabb.
Sweaty.
No, the parents for me.
Yeah.
Controversial. Not a controversial, just underrated are my two favorite characters. I'm going to say it.
Dude, honestly, I don't blame you. They're great characters. They're such a nice support network for Miles. You can see their perspective, where they're coming from. Obviously, they don't know his secret identity yet.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they do know his real identity, which is the secret identity. But they don't know that he's Spider-Man.
True. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I said that the wrong way around. They don't know he's Spider-Man. They don't know he's Spider-Man.
But they do know he's Miles Morales because they named him and raised him.
Exactly.
Him. Well, Rio birthed him. I don't think Jeff did. Unless in that universe, never know.
Who knows?
It is an alternative universe.
It's a Spider-Verse,
Jeff
man.
Shot Miles out of his arsehole.
It was a canon event.
It was a canon event.
It's a canon event. I completely agree with you, though, with the whole fact that it dives into the character depth way more in this. Like, that's why it's a 2.5-hour movie, because it needs that time to give you the juicy bits of all these different characters so that we can actually attach ourselves even deeper. Especially Gwen, too. Like,
I really like Gwen's story.
It's like a whole 20 minutes at the start that's just dedicated to Gwen. And I love that so much.
I was
going to
say, did you enjoy them starting off with her instead?
Loved it. It was really, like, different, you know?
It felt sick. Instead of jumping straight into Miles' story, which made the first scene of Miles feel like the start of the film, that was almost like a cool way to recap the first film.
That's for sure. I liked how, you know, Gwen's relationship with her dad... as like being Spider-Woman and stuff, like the whole, you know, the captain not liking Spider-Woman and stuff. Same with like what happened with Miles in the first movie, you know, the captain not liking Spider-Man at some points and stuff as well. Like, I thought that was a nice reflection of that. And like, you see how that story comes about again in a different way. Like, by this time, the captain quitting
Yes.
And like going, oh, you know what, you're my daughter, whatever sort of thing. But like the whole...
But isn't that ruining a canon event in itself? Because isn't he meant to die?
Because probably someone else is going to become the police captain and they're going to end up dying.
Oh, right.
That's what
Does it have to be the police captain, though?
Well, it said that's what the canon event was. Like, a police captain close to a spider person has to die. And that's a thing.
They've already lost Uncle Ben.
Yeah, but that's the first one. Like, so they've got Uncle Ben / Aunt May / a person, Uncle Aaron.
Right.
There's, like, that canon event for every single spider.
That creates them and then to spur them on from... A fun spider to a serious spider the next one.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was going to say, is Miles has already lost Uncle Aaron.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to lose Jeff Hardy.
He doesn't need to lose Jeff Hardy at all.
But though. Jeff Hardy
but that is the next. Maybe. That's the next part in it. And, well, you know, I guess we'll have to see what the third movie brings, because Jeff... I mean, if you've played the video games or you've read the comics and stuff, Jeff dies. That's
Does he?
Yeah. I think in the comics.
They can't kill Jeff.
They kill Jeff in the video game.
What video game? There's a Miles video game?
No, in the Spider-Man video game, PlayStation, PS4, and PS5.
I played Spider-Man.
Jeff dies at City Hall, man. He gets bombed.
Oh.
Mr. Negative.
Sorry.
Yeah, bitch. Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
At that bit. I was like, wait, is this in Spider-Man 2, the one that I haven't played?
Where is this guy going? No.
Yes, that's... Yeah. But that's his spur on moment.
Yeah. It is his spur on moment. Yeah.
I don't know. I think this one's better than the first. I enjoy it. I also enjoy...
I can understand why you think that too, because it's an awesome fucking movie, bro.
Mm.
So many... Well, oh, man. And like the animation as well.
I really like that in every different universe, the animation looked different.
A completely different style. With Gwen's one...
Yes.
It's like that that aqua, pink, purpley sort of vibe. It's hazy. It's like a, I don't know, you're looking through sort of like a foggy filter the whole time.
Yes, yeah, very Technicolor.
Yeah.
I really like that.
For sure. No, I really did like that.
And then in the 2029 one, that full futuristic city, but it was very much just paper drawn almost, it felt. That was really cool.
That's cool. And you also had like the different animation styles of, you know, we had Parchment Vulture. From the
yes,
like the Leonardo da Vinci,
Leonardo DiCaprio,
universe.
God, I love that Leonardo DiCaprio universe.
Amazing!
It was really good in the Leonardo DiCaprio universe, where it was the vulture, and he just kept sleeping with 25-year-old women whilst he was like nearly 60.
Oh,
I thought that was really, really a fresh take.
Stood off on the front of a boat as well. He's like, hold me, Jack.
That was in his younger years. Hold me, Jack. Yeah. And then now he keeps 25, and then he goes for it. That's why he's the vulture. He swoops in and... Leonardo DiCaprio.
That was actually Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah. Okay, that's it. We've cracked the code right there.
That's beautiful.
It's finished. What was a standout moment that made it better for you than the first movie? Well, like, obviously, you said the character development, but, like, what's an example of... the depth that took you to the limit to go, hey, I love this way more.
We find out that Miles was the first anomaly and that he is a mistake.
Oh, what a fucking twist, man.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That, for me, was like, bro.
Yeah.
But then I also thought about it.
Mm.
It's not his fault. It's Kingpin's fault.
It's Kingpin's fault.
He just happened to be in the area at the time and get bit by the spider.
If you're thinking about the whole, like, flow of the timeline thing then with, like... Because it really does come down to, like, a fate sort of theme with this whole thing that they've introduced with the canon events and stuff like that.
Yes.
It's like it's meant to be this way. So wasn't it, by that logic, meant to be that way that Miles ends up as Spider-Man in the end? Like, what's the difference there? He was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. That makes almost a little bit no sense. Like, I feel like he is supposed to be Spider-Man, and that's going to be revealed in the third movie.
Mm.
Like, they're all saying at the moment, no, this is wrong. It's a spider from a different universe. Well, according to this universe, it's correct.
Yeah.
Because even though they're getting something from another the radioactive spider from the other universe to come bite Miles, not intentionally... You get what I mean. But the flow of events is going to be a canon event, sort of thing.
Yeah, it wasn't his fault that Kingpin was trying to get it's his flawed family logic. Back.
Yeah, by Miguel O'Hara's...
yeah, not the writers. The writers are good.
The writers are good. It's Miguel's...
Scott hates the writers.
Miguel's logic against Miles's want to go save his dad and being a Spider-Man is wrong, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to see that.
He was there. He was chilling. Yeah. Next thing you know... Spider comes out, bites him, portal opens, and old mate saves him and dies saving him.
That's exactly right, yeah.
It's not Peter Parker's fault. That cool blonde hot one or whatever
it
was. Yeah. Remember that? You remember
weird
him?
Blonde Peter Parker.
Yeah.
When they take the mask off and you're like, he's blonde?
He's fucking blonde.
What?
Yeah. Well, speaking of random Peters and Parkers.
Yes.
Who was your favorite? Because there was a lot of cameos here.
Oh, I can tell you my favorite straight off the bat.
Yeah, your favorite Spider-Man, this one?
Ben Reilly?
Oh, yeah.
Scarlet Spider-Man.
Voiced by Andy Samberg.
Very cool.
Yeah,
I loved it. The smoldering, oh, look at my defined physique.
Yes.
And his animation style being that of the comics as well.
Mm-hmm.
The 90s sort of ultra ripped, almost Rob Liefeld-esque. No, not Rob Liefeld. That's wrong. I don't know. The name is not on my brain right now.
Oh, Stan Lee.
Frank Miller.
Oh, yes, Stan Lee.
Hold on. Let me just fact check this for you right now.
I love Stan Lee.
Stan Lee. Frank
Miller. He's got a first
Miller,
name and a Spider-Man. Last name. That's my favorite, Stan Lee.
Yeah. So it's like that sort of edgy sort of 90s look to the Scarlet Spider that I really like. I thought that was really sick. And yeah, it's such a funny comedic, you know, relief sort of character.
Yes.
To add to it. Yeah.
A couple of other notable mentions. We had is it from Spectacular Spider-Man TV series is in there?
Yes.
The little animated guy. And he comes in, he's like, sorry, Peter. We have to... Oh, sorry, Miles. Whatever the fuck his name is. We have to enslave you. I don't think he says that. And now that sounds racist. when they're trying to capture him anyway and not let Miles escape to save his dad.
And we have PS5... /PS4
yes,
Spider-Man.
Yes.
Well, it's technically PS4.
Insomniac's Spider-Man.
Insomniac Spider-Man.
We have Childish Gambino, Donald Glover, whatever you prefer, as the Prowler.
We do. We also have just a regular Rhino.
Yes, we have a regular Rhino.
We could rattle off heaps of different...
That's what we're going to do right now. That's what this segment is. It's called The Boys Rattle Off a Bunch of Spider-Mans in That Spider-Man Movie with all the Spider-Men.
That's good.
So here we go.
Plushy Spider-Man.
We have Plushy Spider-Man, T-Rex Spider-Man.
The Spider-Man with the two robotic arms that come out of it, his suit, which is like an even more futuristic Spider-Man than 2099. It's like, I don't know, 3000 something or, I don't know, something ridiculous in the future.
Had the 1960s Spider-Man.
They did, yeah. And we did get a little hint back at Noir Spider-Man right at the very end.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed that
Black
Noir? No.
No, not Black Noir. What the fuck?
Noir Spider-Man.
Man, get your characters right.
Noir Spider-Man wasn't in that.
No, that's fair enough.
We also had...
You're in boys' brain.
Gun-slinging
like Cowboy Spider-Man.
Cowboy Spider-Man.
That shot webs out of the horse.
Yeah.
Oh, no, out of the gun, sorry. Yeah.
I read, actually see this one, that, you know, the ice cream sort of like popsicle from the first movie and when he's going through all the Spider-Man merch.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think that's chasing him in the big Spider-Man chase, apparently, is what I read. I didn't actually see it myself.
If you freeze frame it, you can pick apart so many different types of...
Oh, yeah. New rock stars would love that shit.
Oh, my God. And the thing is, with animation, you can put in the time and effort to actually go the extra mile to put in all these different things. Whereas, like, if you compare it to, like, Deadpool 3, when, yes, there was a lot of different variants in that movie... It wasn't like they had like a lot of the same Deadpool, like just standard Deadpool fighting Wolverine Deadpool. But in this, it's like every Spider-Man's different. You do have like your standards popping up here and there, but they're all slightly different.
Yeah, they went nuts with it. I think there's over 200 variants of Spider-Man in this.
Really?
Is what I, again, that I'm saying a lot of things that I read that I don't have 100% sure of.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to say another thing like that.
Yep.
But from my understanding, now this I'm pulling from, this is like a year-old knowledge, okay? When the movie came out.
Yeah.
But I believe this is true. So take this with a grain of salt, audience, but I believe this is true.
Right.
Is that the animators did an amazing job, but they got forced to do crunch. And not surprising. And this is all allegedly, because I don't know. I'm sure there's sources out there, so research this yourselves if I'm wrong. But from memory, they got, forced to do heavy crunch, and they had to work, you know, like crazy amounts of hours. I'm not going to put a number on it, so I'm going to say 15 hours a day.
On average.
No, I don't know the hours. I was there, and I was the one telling him to work.
I'm pretty sure. Whipping them. Yeah. You were out there, you're like, man, you guys got to get these animations out, otherwise you're fired.
Yeah, it's true. It's pretty hot.
I mean, that is kind of a thing that's known not just in the animation industry, but also gaming and all sorts of different industries. But creative industries do get hit hard with this stuff because they're given a deadline and they're like, actually, deadlines change too for these things. And higher up executives will come in and go, no, buddy, we need that in way quicker than what we originally said. And then they're just like, what the fuck?
Also, from memory, this movie was delayed by like a year. It was meant to come out in 2022 and then got pushed back a year.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And whatever delay that was due to, I mean, it definitely paid off in the end.
Well, it doesn't surprise me because there's so much going on in this film.
Huge.
Every scene has like 1,000 things happening. If you pause this movie at any moment, I guarantee you could make it your background and it would be somewhat cool.
Literally is like a wallpaper every single shot. And beautiful.
This is my point.
Yeah.
If we're going to compare it to Deadpool, which is very hard to do, and I know they're two very different films.
But they're both multiversal films.
Not even that. They're just both big block... Well, yes, both big blockbuster multiverse films.
Yeah.
With the budgets that they have, I'm sure Deadpool had a bigger budget than this.
Yeah.
But still, the fact that this looks like what it does, that's what I expect a blockbuster movie to look like.
Yeah.
Not just grey and boring.
Yeah.
I'm not hating on Deadpool and Wolverine. All right? It's not great. I had a fun time.
Yeah.
But it wasn't visually interesting. And for a movie that has so much money poured into it,
Big words from the boy, but I do agree.
And I get it. The argument is, well, actually, you can't compare animation to live action. And no, you can't. But I'm going to, because I'm saying you can still make a movie look good in live action.
Yeah, yeah.
Blade Runner 2049 is an example.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? And that's a blockbuster film.
I get what you mean. Because like, this movie itself, and yeah, obviously it's hard to compare, but the Spider-Verse movies are its own style. It has its own aesthetic. It really stands out. And everything is just popping at you the whole time. Like, not even just the animation style, but like the character design.
Oh.
Individually is beautiful, you know?
I'll do my own thing. Like, shit.
Oh, man.
His face.
the emotion, the micro expressions in the... I think we talked about this in the very first... Well, in the third episode.
Yeah.
We talked about the micro expressions in their face that's animated and stuff like that. Such attention to detail. And yeah, just like the little things popping up in the background, the living, breathing world around these characters moving and flowing the entire time. It's like you could step in there and be a part of it.
Yeah.
It's so cool, man.
Everything has so much detail. Doesn't feel half-assed at all.
Yeah.
And that's what you expect.
We're both big fans of movies that take you around to different unique locations as well and continuously keep you visually stimulated into new areas. Like, this movie's a prime example of that sort of thing done well.
Yeah. If we're going to compare it to another movie we watched recently.
Yeah.
The Joker.
Yeah.
Why we didn't like Joker 2, a big reason was because it had two settings.
Careful, because that's coming out. Oh, no, actually, no.
It's already out.
By that point. Yeah, sorry. My brain is
episode blah, blah, blah. 74. The fucking Joker's been episode 73. Whatever 73. It is. I don't
73.
Know.
73.
Anyway, what we said last week, apparently, is that.
That's what we said.
Yeah, it's in two settings the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
This, it's, you know, you've got Miles's world, you've got Gwen's world, you've got 2099 world, the Miles alternative world with you know, the mewing Miles in it.
Mewing Miles. Can we talk about also just touching on the soundtrack of everything as well? You step into a new world and it is a different soundtrack every single time.
Yep.
Gwen's world, we have like the cool sort of vibey, like, you know, obviously the drum intro and stuff.
Punk rockers, hip hoppers.
Yeah. But like the cool, like jangly guitar, it's almost shoegazy going over the top and just layering the whole thing of Gwen's world feels like a shoegaze album. That's because it's just like mushy and like wobbly, and it's like you put a, this is musician terms, but it's like you put a chorus pedal on a world and the whole thing's just like, woo.
Makes it all wobbly and all shit. Cool.
But then you step into Miles' world and then the theme changes, you know, it's got the sick like backbeats to everything while he's like swinging around.
Yeah,
it feels groovy, you know, you feel the youthfulness in the music as well, because it's like he's spent a year as Spider-Man after meeting the guys, refined his skills. The music feels less like kiddish, but it's like it's a youthful sort of like energetic teen.
And then 2099's music is just
great theme as
great
well.
Great theme, yeah.
And when that, because that's been used in so many memes now.
Oh, yeah. And I'm gonna do my own thing as well.
I fucking like, I lost it when Miguel's theme came on.
Yeah. How did you rate Spot as a villain?
I thought it was pretty good.
Pretty good.
Well, actually, no, I really like Spot, and I respected them for using that character, such a silly character in this, and like owning that at the beginning.
Yeah.
And evolving it into, holy crap, this guy, he can do some damage.
He was just a villain of the week at the start, and they turned him into the villain.
Yeah. So that's the thing as well. Like,
adjust my nutsack there.
One of Spider-Man's flaws, and it is a big part of why people like the character of all iterations, is his quips and stuff like that. But that is part of the reason why, like, him not taking this villain seriously at the beginning and kind of just brushing him off and quipping and being silly and stuff like that, is part of the reason why Spot was spurred on to go bigger and better.
And the bagel.
And the bagel, man, the bagel, that was a canon event right there.
I do remember all the memes as well on TikTok, and it's like me watching Spider-Man, and then it's like, the bagel, if you know, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, shut the fuck up.
Shut up, man. Yeah.
Go outside and breathe air. Live a little.
Live a little, seriously. Oh,
the bagel.
The bagel.
Ooh. Who cares?
Yeah.
No, the bagel was good, little detail. Good story writing.
But they, you know what I also liked as well?
I like the bagel. Just want to put that out there. I was just mocking people.
Yeah. But it wasn't just Spot as the villain, which I liked as well. We had Miguel almost as like an anti-hero. More of an antagonist, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
He was like the main antagonist at the center of the movie.
Well, yeah, because they're going to use Spot for the next one as the main.
But also, it probably won't be Spot for the next one.
Who do you reckon
it's going to be? Evil Miles, maybe.
Oh, shit, yeah. And probably Miguel's going to snap as well.
Yeah, no, I feel like Miguel might have a bit of a...
They're going to have a fight, surely.
They're going to have a fight, but Miguel... Okay, this is just me theorizing.
Yeah.
If I get this right, I feel like Miguel's going to die. I feel like he's going to die going, shit, I've gone too far. We're going to make this right.
And he sacrifices himself for Miles.
For Miles, yeah. Maybe he sacrifices himself to save the captain. Whoa, imagine that.
Shit dog.
Imagine that.
Shit dog. Log these predictions right now.
Log them in. Put them in. Put them in your sports bet. We're taking all your money.
Oh, true, actually. Because today's the US election, I put money on Kanye just for a joke.
Yeah.
But, you know,
it's incredible.
Yeah. It's not gonna happen.
There was one scene in particular that really spoke to you, I know, and that was the chase scene.
Yes.
Spider-Man.
That was mad. Scene. That was so cool. That was one of the funnest scenes of the entire film.
The energy in that. It was electric, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Literally, I mean, Miles got out of that situation using his electrokinesis.
I think all the little quips, the little moments that happened.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The 1960s Spider-Man goes, "Whoa," and he's like, "Oh, I pulled something. Oh, no."
What about the therapy Spider-Man? It's like, let me guess, your uncle, he died.
And then everyone just smashes through the wall.
Yeah,
there was great. The one where it's like, there's nowhere left to run. And then he smashes out the window. He's like, oh, so my bad, team. My bad. Little things like that just make the scene so fun.
Witty humor that's kind of like, it's like a modern witty humor.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Big fan.
With the spot scene at the start.
Gotcha.
He's got his hand on the shelf.
ATM?
The shelf. And then he's got the bread pouring out of his stomach.
Yeah.
He's going in the ATM. That whole scene. It's like, who left the ATM on the sidewalk and all this stuff?
Yeah, yeah. That's great.
That is just such a great scene.
Yeah.
Both of them is exactly what you can do with animation.
I was a big fan of that intro scene as well, actually.
They're fun, they're poppy, they're interesting.
Yeah, for sure. And, it just... The dynamic between characters in each of these scenes was really cool as well. It really felt like you were listening to them actually connect on levels, because you can compare it to a lot of other like action-y sort of superhero sort of movies. Sometimes it feels like the characters they're not really gelling with each other sometimes.
No.
There's a lot of movies where they do, but I would say an example where characters don't really like merge super well sometimes in like an animation sort of thing is like the Michael Bay Transformers movies sometimes, when like the Transformers are talking to the humans. It's like sometimes you don't get that connection. It feels like they're having their conversation and talking, but it's not really going in the ears of people. Like that's
like me right now.
Yeah, maybe. But basically, like, it felt like everyone was really connecting on a great level. And the relationship between Miles as Spider-Man with his dad as the cop at the start as well.
Yes.
Like a different relationship. Jeff getting advice from Spider-Man, his son, about his son is such a cool thing.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
I really liked that. I really liked Gwen and Miles' love story as well. Well, brewing love story. That's going
to
be
interesting. Oh, you might have to bring the mic just a little closer.
A little bit like that.
Yeah, just a little closer.
Their story.
Yeah.
I can't remember what I was saying, but fuck yeah. No, that's good. We also got to see Peter B. Parker come back. That was good.
Yeah.
Sad we didn't get to see, Noir Spider-Man.
Mm.
And a couple of the other guys. We didn't get to see Spider-Ham either.
That's unfortunate. But, like, you know, I feel like it filled out the space enough with the characters that we had and the new ones enough to make it that it was like, It's still okay that they're not here. We know that they're going to come back in the third one, which makes it even more exciting to see where this goes, you know?
Do you reckon they did 2099 Spider-Man correct?
I think they did. I think they did. And they did him in a way that makes sense for his mission that he's on. Because at the end of the first movie, right, we do see 2099 Spider-Man. He's much more, like, quippy and...
Is he?
He's a little bit...
He's in one post-credits scene.
I know, but he's much less serious in that single scene.
Well, it's only because it's the Spider-Man cameo where they're all pointing at each other.
Yeah, but even when he's talking to the lady on the... I don't know what her name is, the one that's like floating around and stuff like that. There's much more of like a relaxed energy about him, but he's been doing this for this long now. And now it's like, it's starting to eat away at him.
Mm.
All of this, all the multiversal issues that he has to go and fix to stop things from, you know, being destroyed.
I disagree. I reckon he was basically the same in the post-credit scene.
Exactly the same.
Yeah.
I think his character
really
was slightly
different.
I'm saying that as a good thing, though. I'm saying, like, it makes sense for his character.
Yeah, see, I don't reckon you really got to see much of him in the post-credits.
You didn't. That's correct.
I don't know if you can say his character's evolved from one two-minute scene to now.
Go back to that scene. Verify it.
Just saying.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough. But I think they did his character well. And... the pressure mounted on his shoulders to be the Spider-Man out of leading all the other spider people is like, it shows.
Well, I think we'll end it on, how do you reckon you rated the ending?
Ooh, very good. Exciting.
I'm keen. I thought the open-ended ending was very good.
Very, very, very good, yeah.
I like that Miles is captured by Cornrows Miles. You know, we got Miles there just like with his fist on the punching bag, kind of just like mugging him.
Yeah.
That was pretty mad.
That was good.
He's in the wrong universe.
The whole twist of that end scene as well. Like you actually do think it's really well done, the parallel between Gwen's and Miles' perspective, and they're swinging through the raining city, but slightly different color palettes, very so slightly. And you're like, oh, hold on a second. They're in the same place, right? No, they're not.
Yeah, that threw me off guard the first time I watched it, for sure.
Big reveal.
Spot's about to kill the dad.
It really is a massive James
Hardy or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Jeff Hardy.
Jeff Hardy.
Jeff Hardy's about to die.
Yeah.
Miguel's trying to find Miles. I mean, it's all happening.
It's all happening. It's red hot. It's getting into it.
And Gwen's got a super team. It started with Gwen. It's ended with Gwen.
Yeah.
I like that. I really like that a lot. Well.
I think that it's a perfect setup for a third movie, and it really is shaping up, and I don't want to hype it up too much, but I'm hoping it executes to be one of the greatest trilogies of all time.
Well, I think there's going to be four, so, you know.
Oh, quadrilogy.
Yeah.
Is there actually going to be four?
It's going to be Beyond the Spider-Verse Part 1 and Part 2, from my knowledge.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's going to be that big.
Need to get that money.
I guess they're going to get that money, but technically that will be a trilogy, though, because it's Part 1 and Part 2. Because it's like Kill Bill, that's technically one movie. Like in the Tarantino verse, they count that as one movie, but it's two.
Right.
You get what I mean?
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. It's iffy.
I say it's two. Yeah. Fuck all you dogs.
I'm just saying the facts.
Ah!
Oi, before you do that, let me give you two quotes.
I'll give you two quotes.
In this line of work, you always end up a solo act.
Damn.
Big deep thing from Gwen there at the beginning of the movie. But it's been Peter Parker's story from the very beginning of his inception.
Penis Parker.
And also, yeah, I think it's a Banksy, the random
guy. Oh, yes. Yeah. That is so good.
That was good. I like that.
There's so many good little... I mean, if we're going to go in quotes, I really liked, I think it was Pravit Parker, and he's like talking about the chai tea. And he's like, you're saying TT.
TT. We didn't even talk about...
We missed that whole
Mumbai.
Year.
Mumbai Hatton.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And how...
Here's the traffic. There's more traffic.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about that. So there's so much in this movie, honestly. We haven't even talked about Hoagie either.
Hoagie? Oh,
thought he'd be your favorite.
Spider Punk. What? We haven't even talked about Spider Punk.
Thought he'd be your favorite.
Wow.
I didn't even know his name.
I really liked his character too. God damn it. Oh.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah, he's really cool. I mean, after playing, you know, the video game and having the Spider-Punk skin and then seeing him in the movie, it's like, oh, that's really sick. Yeah.
When Hoagie sees like the baby, Peter B. Parker's baby poo.
Yeah.
And then he's like, yeah, take a poo on the system. Yeah. Like that. He's mad.
It's like kid's an anarchist.
One thing I didn't get though.
Yeah.
Is just before the Spider-Man chase scene and Hoagie leaves by going out the portal and you see him throw his like little... What is it? The universe traveler thing?
I know where you're going with this.
And then later on...
Yeah.
He somehow... Gwen's dad has got his little control system, little bracelet. How did the bracelet get to Gwen's dad when he just obviously traveled back to his universe?
I quit and throws it back in the universe.
Throws it back. So how did you get back? You can't get your bracelet back without Miguel or someone coming to get you.
Yeah.
And they're all preoccupied trying to get Miles. So that made no sense how...
All right, this is the only logical answer.
He dropped his bracelet in... like before that chase scene. And then 20 minutes later, it's like his bracelet's at Gwen's dad's place.
Mm-hmm.
How?
I don't understand.
That makes no sense.
Unless someone got it there for him. No, because he said he met with the dad, right?
Yeah.
Well, the dad said he was there. He was a character.
He was a real piece of work.
He's a real piece of work.
Interesting. How did Hoagie do that?
I don't know.
Made no sense to me.
That makes no sense. Yeah. One bit of flawed logic that brings it down a little bit.
Oh, huge. Probably brings it down at least six nugs.
Six nugs, yeah. Oh, this movie's terrible.
It is.
Yeah.
Shit.
I can't stand it.
Trivia time?
Please.
The sequence on Earth 13122, the Lego universe, was animated by 14-year-old Preston Mutanga.
Yep.
Who was hired after Phil Lord and Chris Miller were impressed by his Twitter video recreating the entire trailer with Lego.
That's so sick. And they just went, let's add this.
So they hired a 14-year-old kid to do that entire scene.
That is the coolest thing for a kid to do.
Not mad.
Wow. What? You know what? That's the start of his career. Yeah, if he wants to pursue animation.
He's always got that on the CV now.
Boom. I worked on Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the best animated movies ever.
Insane. Wow. That's really cool.
Phil Lord says...
Yeah.
Phil Lord and Chris Miller revealed that they told Sony the sequel would be the same size as the first Spider-Man, but it ended up having the largest crew of any animated movie ever with 1,000 people working on it.
Whoa.
They added that it has 240 characters and takes place in 6 universes.
Wow.
Fucked.
You know what? Again, comparing it to another film that was supposed to be crazy multiversal, Doctor Strange should have taken a note from that.
Yeah, exactly. That was meant to be the big multiverse movie, and all we got is like everyone dying in 2 seconds.
And Zombie Strange waving his hands around and doing fucking nothing.
Stupid.
It's dumb. Anyways.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
I got a bit more trivia for this one. I got another 2 points. It's such a big stacked film.
It's so interesting. So
Genki, we see Genki.
Yes.
Miles' friend. And he's playing Spider-Man 2 on the PS5. You see him playing.
Is he actually?
Oh, you didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
So
yeah.
When he's sitting down playing video games, like, yeah, I'll get to my essay later. He's like, where are my Jordans? She's like that. Genki is actually playing the PlayStation. Wow. And you can see just gameplay of the actual video game on the screen.
That's awesome. Wow, I didn't even pick that detail.
I thought
it's
you knew
so
that.
Cool.
Yeah, we should watch that after the film. After the podcast.
We should.
Or the film. Why not?
Yeah.
Last bit of trivia.
Yep.
When the Spot is revealing his backstory, there is a brief scene showing Spider-Man 42 being teleported from its original universe. In this scene, Spider-Man 42 was crawling on Miles Morales 42's desk and was about to bite him, showing that the Miles Morales in the 42 universe, who's now the Prowler, was meant to be the Spider-Man of that universe.
Yeah.
So, fuck.
Fucked. Fucked. I really think that's such an interesting concept of, like, you know, what Miles could have become with the wrong influence, you know?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, you know, your kids are a product of an environment that's around them.
Okay,
sort of
Mr. Parental Man.
Yeah, I know. I'm just giving you the facts because he was around some good people when in the first movie, and he became the
dude. And you're pro smacking your child as well, aren't you?
Yeah, discipline your kids.
Just punch them in the head.
I'm pro throwing them in the pool.
And just letting them learn how to swim.
Learn!
Yeah. Learn, you fiend.
Yeah, that's it. You can float with that nappy full of poo.
Yeah, worth it. I ain't washing it. Wash it yourself. Letterbox time.
Please.
Adam Bolt says, Sony, I solemnly swear to watch all the Morbius and Venom sequels if you keep making these. 5 stars.
That's crazy. That's dedication. I would never do that.
You would never do that?
No. Oh, well, actually, we're going to have to do that, aren't we?
Yeah, we are going to have to
do that.
We're
going to do that.
I've got here from Jobra says, pump this shit in my veins. 5 stars.
Oh, relatable.
From Fat Baby, twist your nuts as much as you can and send Shorty a live photo. Oh, sorry, wrong one there.
What the fuck, man?
Whoops. I wasn't meant to read that one. And we've got
That was from the back rooms of your brain right there.
From Lily, we've got Coughing Baby, brackets, MCU Spider-Man films versus Hydrogen Bomb, Spider-Verse films. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's deep.
5 stars. She's also given it.
Very popular film amongst the fans. Everybody loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Great success.
It was very good.
Yeah.
So good that it's time to give our scores.
Oh, do you want me to tell you what our scores were for the first movie?
What? Yeah. Oh, yeah. What was the score for the first movie?
I gave the first movie a 9.
Yeah.
You gave the first movie a 9.
Wow.
And what are you giving it today?
Well, I was going to give this a 9, but I said it was better. So can I give it a 9.1? Or is that not legal?
You can't do that. It can. We're only in increments of 5.
I'm going to give this a 9.
But it is
on
better.
On the basis that I think this is better.
Yeah. That's... Well done. I, just giving it just slightly half below, an 8.5.
7? Oh my god.
8.5. That's it.
Bros knows best.
Yep.
And that was another episode of Bros Knows Best. That's right, if you enjoyed this episode, then you can check us out elsewhere, can't you, Scott?
Oh, you betcha.
You can check us out on YouTube,
Spotify,
all podcast platforms. That's probably where you just listened or watched us then.
Yeah.
But we have social platforms too, don't we, Scott?
Oh, we do, like Instagram.
Oh my god, TikTok.
Oh, it's insane.
And YouTube Shorts. If you like us, follow us there. We've got content, we've got episodes, and we'll see you guys
soon.
No, that's when you say next week.
Next week.
Fucking Jesus.